Today on Rockin' the Suburbs,
we visit the VIP section of the Verizon Center,
where the rum and cokes are flowing. Okay, it's day two here at the Tiki Bar House.
Someday. I don't know what day it is.
We've already had enough beers that we don't remember what day it is. Because we have this tap right here.
Yes, it's pretty dangerous.
I don't have anything like that in my house.
No, me neither. I got to open them individually.
I don't think that would be a good idea.
Me neither.
Okay, we're at Greg Wilson's house. Greg actually left for a little bit here.
He's coming back.
Might be underwater. I don't know where he is.
I don't know where he is.
Yeah.
You're listening to Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
And with us again today is Brandy Crawford. Hello, Brandy.
Hey.
Hey, Brandy.
Hey, folks. Good to be here.
Thank you.
Brandy is a friend of ours. She is a coworker of my wife, Katie, at the insurance company where they work.
And the day job.
We wanted to have Brandy on the show here because she just went to see Roger Waters, right?
Yes. Yeah. Amazing experience.
At the Verizon Center in Washington, D.C., is that right?
Mm-hmm. The first show on Friday, August 4th.
Okay.
Right. And that tour has been making a lot of headlines
lately.
Yeah,
it really has.
So we wanted to just kind of explore that a little bit.
Yeah, let's do
and
that.
Brandy's wearing the tour shirt.
Very cool.
Yeah, the Roger Waters Us and Them. Us and Them tour.
Right. And there were, I think there's a poster. Did you get that at the show too, or is that an old poster?
Very cool. Yeah, I did get the poster.
Let's see that.
I thought I would bring it because it was $75. Ooh. And I was like, well, I got to show it. Got to show it around.
Yeah.
But it's kind of neat. It's kind of like a little psychedelic, a little hand.
Oh, that's very cool.
Catching some things.
Yeah.
Kind of reminiscence of, you know, some of their sleeves on their vinyls.
Yeah.
A little
bit. It's got the very thought-provoking images.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you went to this concert with your husband, right?
I went with my husband and my 14-year-old daughter.
Ah, nice.
Wow.
Yeah. Third row seats.
Wow, fantastic.
Third row seats.
Yep.
And are you a longtime Pink Floyd fan?
I am absolutely a longtime Pink Floyd fan. I can't tell you. This band has been intertwined in my life since I was a young child, maybe like 7 or 8 years old.
Wow.
My dad had like hundreds of vinyls. He's, you know, huge music fan and all genres of music. And he had, you know, he had The Dark Side of the Moon. He had The Wall. He even had like some of the original Pink Floyd with Syd Barrett.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of that stuff.
Yeah, he had that. But, you know, at a young age, you know, I was more into bands like Men at Work and Toto because it was a little bit more poppier.
Yeah, and that was the stuff that was on the radio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I got reintroduced to Pink Floyd as a teenager. And, you know, as a teenager, you're more in tune to your emotions. You're feeling for the first time some, you know, stresses, responsibilities, independence, you know, complicated emotions.
Yeah, without a doubt.
And so Pink Floyd, naturally, I just kind of gravitated towards their music. You know, and I remember thinking, this music is so melancholy and eerie, but beautiful at the same time. Mm-hmm. So I just kind of connected to it. So, you know, being there and seeing a big part of Pink Floyd, Roger Waters, you know, even in the absence of David Gilmour, Nick and Rick, I still felt that I was getting the Pink Floyd experience. Now, my husband would disagree because he felt that there was a lot missing still with David Gilmour not being there.
Yeah.
But for me, it was just a wonderful, even a profound and emotional experience for me.
I'm looking at the set list here of the show you went to, and of the 24 songs that were played, including looks like two sets and an encore, 24 songs, 19 of them were Pink Floyd songs.
Wow.
So Roger Waters is going out there really just, you know, flying the Pink Floyd flag, right? Mm-hmm.
Pink Floyd. You know,
you look
at the old interviews. He always felt like he was the foundation of Pink Floyd. But a lot of people, I think, would disagree. Pink Floyd is a band. It's not the Roger Waters experience.
Yeah, I suppose. Although he was a founding member.
He was
David
a founding
Gilmour
member.
David Gilmour was not.
That's
right.
David Gilmour was brought in to fill a void when Syd Barrett could no longer continue with the band.
Yeah.
But David Gilmour owns the Pink Floyd name now and tours as Pink Floyd.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny how that works out. Okay.
Yeah. The lawyers get involved.
Yeah. Okay. So let's talk a little bit. I mentioned that this tour is making some headlines, I think because of the current climate, right? So, this, you know, Roger Waters goes on tour from time to time. This isn't like, you know, it's not like he's been away from the scene for any period of time, but it seems like there's a lot more interest in his shows right now. And so what was the experience like at the show? Was there anything sort of unique this time around?
Well, again, I've never been to a Pink Floyd concert or even to a Roger Waters or David Gilmour concert. Mm-hmm. So I know that Roger Waters and Pink Floyd as a whole has always been kind of in tune to what's going on. Even their songs from, you know, the past is still very relevant to what's happening now. And there was a lot of imagery, which, you know, they came out being, that's what made them unique is their, you know, the light shows and all that, the imagery. So it's still there. And, you know, there were some quotes that we all know that Roger Waters or, you know, he's not a fan of Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. So that was very profound in this show. And you know, I think I have seen some, you know, there were a few people that actually walked out. You know, sometimes we don't, when we want to go to a concert, maybe we just want to leave the stresses behind us, but he puts it in your face.
Yeah.
And he even said, Roger Waters said, if you don't want to face what's happening now in the times, then go to a Katy Perry show. You know,
that's
so
great.
Here I was, you know, I'm feeling pretty good at this point. You know, I had a couple, you know, rum and cokes or whatever.
Yeah.
And then I'm kind of forced to see this imagery of he had Donald Trump and Putin, and he had, you know, some quotes from Donald Trump himself. It was a little disturbing to see that this is what's happening with us right now, and it's happening to all of us.
Mm-hmm.
So you were forced to look at it, and I think that's what Roger Waters wanted.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And I remember talking with our friend Mike Snyder about...
Who was at the show, I believe. I saw on Instagram.
He went to, I think that maybe, I think he might have gone to the second night at Verizon Center. But I remember talking with him earlier because he's originally from Kansas, and I think the tour opened in Kansas City, if I recall correctly.
Uh-huh.
So he had some friends who had gone to that first night.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's all right.
You were asking about if it opened in Kansas City. Well, I'm wearing the Roger Waters shirt that says all the tour dates. I'm sorry.
Just look on the back.
I know.
And is that right? Kansas City?
Yeah.
Look on Brandy's back.
Yeah.
I love the tour t-shirt with the dates on the back.
Yeah.
I haven't had one of those in a long time, man. I got to get one the next time I go somewhere.
I didn't know they still do that.
I know.
That's that actually is a nice little touch,
it's
right?
Cool.
Okay. So anyway, so where was I going? Okay, so Mike said he had some friends who had went to that show.
Uh-huh.
And... there were people who walked out because of the Trump commentary on it.
Oh,
and
interesting.
What Mike and I were sort of, you know, saying was, wherever you are on the political spectrum, it's not like that should come as a surprise to you from a performer like Roger Waters.
Yeah.
You're not, like I said, you're not going to a Katy Perry show, something like that, where maybe it would, you know, come out of left field and you'd be like, mm-hmm. what is this, you know, political, mm-hmm. you know, commentary of these political messages. But with Roger Waters, it's kind of like he's always been like this.
Yeah,
you know?
Always been there. Yep.
I mean, The Wall, for example.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Very totalitarian. It's interesting to me. Let me throw this out to you guys and see what you think about this, because I was thinking about this in the context of, let's take the Beatles, right? And the Beatles were no longer together in the you know, mid-70s, right? And John Lennon and Paul McCartney were very much at loggerheads with each other, and there was always rumors of, like, maybe the Beatles are going to get back together. But John Lennon was playing overtly political music at that time, right? He was doing stuff with radicals and, you know, he was doing kind of crazy stuff. And he wouldn't, but the difference there was he would never touch the Beatles material that he wrote, right? He was not playing concerts where he was going to play, you know, what did you say, 16 of 24 songs were going to be Beatles songs that he wrote, right?
Right.
He just wouldn't touch it at all. It was very much like, this is my solo material,
right.
Give Peace a Chance and Power to the People and Instant Karma and like all that stuff, which is great stuff. But it's different in Roger Waters' context, and I think your point is well made, Jim, that he's always kind of done that, right? Where John Lennon, it was kind of a different thing, so it was a shock to, I think, a lot of Beatles fans, right? But to Pink Floyd fans, there's a thread of it, right? But it's always been, you know, in a much more I don't want to say abstract, but much more generally global context. He wasn't calling one person out by name.
I hear you.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Whereas later in his career, you know, John Lennon was, he was doing that, right? He was doing kind of that radical stuff where he was, you know, hanging around with the yippies and, you know, going after certain people. And that's why the CIA and the FBI were like opening files on the guy and Nixon and stuff. But yeah, you know, for Roger Waters to suddenly go from a global kind of, you know, governments are evil and kind of here's what they can do to, you know, people and here's how it drills down to the individual versus I'm going to call this one specific person out and, well, you know, suddenly say this is the cause of, you know, what's happening that's evil in the
well,
world.
Well, you know, it's kind of hard to ignore it. It's in our faces. We see it on the news. And, yeah. And back then, I mean, we weren't really exposed to all the things that we're exposed to right now with the internet. I mean, our children are seeing what's really happening in this world.
Yeah,
and I
right.
think when you get older, you come to terms with, you know, you are a speaker. You have a lot of people listening to you. In some ways, you could feel responsible for making sure that at least your point of views are getting out there mm-hmm. to be heard. Mm-hmm. So he had a platform for that, and he used it specifically for what he wanted us to hear.
Yeah, it's interesting to me, and the reason I brought that comparison up is that think of Pink Floyd. I mean, Dark Side of the Moon still holds the record for the longest time, right? Mm-hmm. On the, continuous on the charts, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And unless you're talking about somebody like the Beatles, I mean, there's not that much like giants, you know, there's not those kind of legacies really don't exist anymore, you know, as far as, I mean, McCartney, I would, it, you know, if McCartney does a tour,
right,
he probably is on the same level, you know, with the Pink Floyd songs and maybe a little bigger, but other than that, I mean,
yeah,
Roger Waters is like a global,
exactly,
you know, and those songs are like universally huge.
When they did that what was that show they did, Desert Trip, remember?
Oh,
that,
yeah,
that Desert Trip
mm-hmm.
festival from
yeah.
last
where, like Dylan played
fall.
Yeah,
there were only like six artists on that bill and they were supposed to be like sort of the most iconic artists
yeah.
still performing, and Roger Waters was one of the six,
right?
Right, he was there with Dylan and Paul McCartney and
yeah.
the Rolling Stones and,
yeah the Stones yeah. being probably the other one
yeah, yeah right mm-hmm. So there's that. Were there any particular songs that you remember from the show though just being really you know, really moving or really stand out despite the rum and cokes?
I think my husband had to like nudge me because I was starting to get a little teary eyed because, of course, the imagery, this wasn't the political part of it. Uh-huh. But, you know, they had this girl and I can't remember what song it was, but she seemed to be of fighting with herself. But the songs that they played, Wish You Were Here, of course, mm-hmm. was one of my favorite songs from Wish You Were Here album. And I really appreciate the fact that they gave tribute to Syd Barrett, going back to Syd Barrett, because, you know, and they even say this, David and Roger, all the band members say that they're not even sure if Pink Floyd would have ever been in existence if it wasn't for Syd Barrett.
That's right.
You know, again, he was a very charming person who he liked to have the lights and, you know, the light shows. And he started doing like putting like little psychedelic nuggets in the music and really kind of help Pink Floyd, the other members, kind of forge their way through and defining who they really were going
yeah.
to be. And so just appreciating the fact that they paid a tribute to him, even in his failing insanity, you know, his mind just went. But I just love the fact that they didn't leave him. They didn't forget about him.
That's
and
great.
Another thing that I like about Pink Floyd, too, is, you know, what really attracted to me first was the sound of their music.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you get down to the words, and you actually, it's like little poems, so to say, me being a literature major, you could really just like break down the lyrics and try to analyze what they're meaning and then taking their words and kind of reflecting it back into your own life. So it was really deep for me to just to hear these songs that have been so relevant in my life from many, you know, stages of it, so to say.
Yeah, right.
So.
You were here. We're just two lost souls swimming in a fishbowl. You.
Have you seen Pink Floyd?
No, but I may, and I may have told this story. I never saw Pink Floyd as a group, unfortunately. Although I think I must have missed a chance somewhere along the line, but I don't know if I told the story on the old show or the new one, or maybe I've never told it, but in the 80s, mid-80s, I once bought tickets to see Icicle Works. Remember this band,
Icicle Works? Yep. Whisper to a Scream.
Yes, and they were opening up for David Gilmour. And it was announced that for some reason, Icicle Works was not going to appear. They had a travel problem or a visa problem or whatever, and I walked out, so I didn't stay to see David Gilmour. Yeah, not my finest moment.
Really?
Yeah, isn't that weird? And I'm a Pink Floyd fan.
Yes.
I don't know what I had to do that was so urgent that I couldn't stick around for a couple hours.
Do you regret that?
I do. Very much so.
Yeah.
It was stupid. Wow. Among a couple other walkouts that I made in my career, that was one of the ones that I regret.
That was back when you were a real punker, right?
That's right.
You
know, I'm not having this, old man.
That's right.
Yeah. Get out of here.
I got it. All right. Okay. Well, thanks very much, Brandy.
Thank you, Brandy. That was very insightful. If any of the listeners saw the tour or went to the show, you know, call the Suburban Party Line, let us know, write us, and love to hear what your opinion of the show was, especially the political content.
Yeah, we would love to get some reaction on this.
Yeah, great to get some insight.
You can call 612-440-1984.
And
you can leave a message.
Mm-hmm.
If you're glad or sad or high, call the Suburban Party Line.
So just another little reminder to do that.
The show may have provoked all three of those emotions.
I would think, right?
Yeah.
Okay, you can also email us, rock@suburbspod.com, or you can interact with us on the social medias. That you can find us at suburbspod on all of those, the Facebook, the Twitter, the Instagram. And then you can visit our website, suburbspod.com. And of course, you should listen to the show on Apple Podcasts or Audioboom or any of the podcast platforms. Please subscribe to the show.
Yes.
Please rate and review the show
on
iTunes. That really helps us out. We appreciate that.
Every day.
That's right. Okay. Thanks again, Brandy. You're going to stick around for the rest of the week?
Oh, absolutely.
Hang out here by the pool?
Hey, I got a little umbrella in my beer. You know, you can't miss that, you know?
Not going anywhere.
That's great. Okay. This is Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
Brandy Crawford.
And we'll talk to you tomorrow.
And there was a wall in this, or a side of a building. You know, at that point, I was like probably three rum and cokes in. But